What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Leiter ready now with the 2-1. Swinging a drive toward the right field corner. This one is gone. A line drive home run for Vinny Pasquantino. It is his 23rd of the year, and that puts Kansas City in front 3-1.
Hixie with the call in your home of the Texas Rangers. They end up losing to Kansas City in the opener 4-3. Jack Leiter did not have control. Jock Peterson gets screwed at home plate. And they are now 7.5 back in the AL West, 6 back in the wild card. And that's pretty much everything I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would only add to that that Vinny Pasquantino sounds like about the most Italian name you could come up with, to the point that it almost sounds fake to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is getting frustrating every night watching this baseball team where...
Again, I'm just like, I want you to put me out of my misery.
Yeah, it's a thing where when you watch it, it's almost like... You feel like you're just, it's similar to, at least for me, I know it's not this bad in the standings right now, but it's similar to me of like, there's 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're losing 28-3 and you're just like, can we just get this done? Can we be done with it and reset,
I feel like
get a chance
more
to
like
reset?
23-6.
Okay. 23-6 and you've picked
28-3
up.
28-3 I know is done. I'm not as...
Unless you're the Patriots.
I'm not as there as you are.
23-6 then, but you've picked up 60 yards of offense through three quarters. And it's like, I don't know how we're going to score today.
Yes.
And that's the frustrating thing is that you're just kind of sitting there going like, this is probably done, so can we just be finished with this one and get a reset for the next time?
I was a little surprised at Jared Sandler's trade deadline grade for Merrill Kelly yesterday. I thought it was a little too optimistic. And Merrill is going to pitch today.
Ranger Sports Network employee Jared Sandler?
Stop it. Don't do him like that.
How funny was that, Jared?
9-7 with a 3-3-6. He will be on the mound tonight against Lugo. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 first pitch. Are we getting the Rangers moving out of the American League West? Rob Manfred, commissioner, was talking about expansion and how that could lead to RJ Choppy's dream.
In my mind, I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, and that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim, would be two West Coast teams, and that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. So I think, you know, I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and that we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
RJ Choppy may call in on vacation from Michigan just for this.
This is, I would love this.
That was on Sunday Night Baseball.
I would be a big fan of this. I've often felt like Major League Baseball needs to do more. And I understand for all the different old heads that don't want to see things shaken up. And I'm part of that group a lot of the time. I absolutely would like to see divisional realignment that really emphasizes regional, not just for time frames, but just to like really accentuate regional rivalries. And to get the most out of that. And so CBS had actually they'd done a breakdown of like, hey, here's what realignment could look like, where you end up with four divisions instead of three because you add two expansion teams. And so they said, assume one of them's Nashville, assume one of them's Portland, which those two have been talked about a lot. There's also been, I think Salt Lake City has been talked about a lot with this. So they said that Texas would end up in the South Division, which would be the Houston Astros, the Miami Marlins, and the Tampa Rays and the Rangers. I feel pretty good about being in that division for the next little bit.
Yeah, Jim Bowden did a proposed realignment. He put us in the Southwest with the armpit, Kansas City, and St. Louis.
So I would
get the Astros, the Cardinals, and the Royals.
If you want to talk about again, accentuating rivalries and putting something, I think Cardinals would make a ton of sense. Not just because, you know, the aspect of you've played them in the World Series and there's still people who are upset about David Freese 15 years later and how that's a dirty word, but also just because of, again, regionally, how kind of close you are and clustered together. The more you can put people in the same general vicinity, yeah. And I know why Major League Baseball doesn't like doing it, though. They don't like creating competition for fans and spending dollars and stuff like that, like when it's all concentrated tight like that.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking about spending on St. Louis Cardinal tickets.
Right. It's just at that point, like, you don't get as big of a market share probably if those teams are, if St. Louis is always playing Texas, there will naturally be some kids who grow up in Texas or who are kind of regionally in the middle who will start cheering for that. Their allegiance will be split as opposed to just each team kind of getting their own cut of the area.
Speaking of scheduling, someone please explain this to me. I hate to admit, see, I can do it, Bobby. You can't when it comes to the gambler.
I admit a lot.
Bobby, you're not admitting enough that I'm correct all the time. Bobby trashing Adam Silver. NBA on NBC is set to roll out Coast to Coast Tuesday. The second game of the doubleheader will start at 11 o'clock Eastern instead of 10:30. I don't under... Help me. What am I not getting about this? So instead of 7 o'clock to 9:30, we get 9:30 to 12 for the second game. Now we're going to go 10 p.m. start time and 11 p.m. on the East Coast? Why?
So baseball, it's always felt like, I mean, they obviously have to consider certain things with the West Coast, but to me, it's always felt like baseball has been concerned about their East Coast audience. Like that's what the sport generally prioritizes, especially the Northeast. Basketball does feel different. Like, basketball does feel like they try to cater to the West Coast of the area. And so to me, I do wonder if it's just a thing where it's like, well, 8 o'clock, we really want people in those Laker seats. We don't want them late getting, you know, traffic. It's crazy in LA. They need enough time to be able to slide into their seats, and we want crazy atmosphere. All right, but everybody else is in bed. Nobody else in the country is going to see it like east of Denver. That's going to be it. Nobody else will watch it.
The Dallas Cowboys have a new cornerback. By the way, the rest of the show preview, we're going to play you audio from the documentary that Brad Sham is raving about, The Wall 2.0. That's going to be at 7:20. We'll ask Reddit with special guest Eric Chiafalo in the commercial-free expressway as well at 7:40. And then the director of the Netflix documentary dropping today. It's already out. Jerry Jones and his Cowboys, The Gambler is the name of it. The director will join us at 9. So it's a documentary Tuesday on Sean and Bobby with Choppy on Vacation. Who is the corner?
Michael Ojemudia, who was at Iowa a few years ago. He came out in the 2020 draft. This was the CeeDee Lamb draft. So if you need context for how long ago he entered the league. I did not realize that he was even playing in the USFL or wherever he had been recently. So he was drafted by Denver in the third round back in 2020. And he was not consistent enough. He was not good enough. He ended up, he was either cut or traded before his second year, midway through his second year. But he hasn't played in the NFL since 2022. We're talking about two full seasons that he's missed. He's played 22 games in 5 years, entering his sixth now. So
this is not a name that we had mentioned on the corner market.
No, this is traits. This is athletic traits and a guy who performed well in the USFL that they're now willing to give a shot to. Similar to like when they signed Gerrion Conley to the practice squad after he had kind of done some stuff. So it's a body and it's somebody that they're willing to take a risk on. But again, this is like last year. You remember where they were working out Carl Lawson and they were signing Al-Quadin Muhammad. Like they were signing all these different people and bringing in all these bodies because they recognized their edge group wasn't good enough. That's what they're doing at corner right now, where they're just kind of throwing stuff at the wall.
Other updates from Brian Schottenheimer yesterday. He said, we don't believe it's terribly serious on Jonathan Mingo. We have a few more tests to run. And then I see 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's shorter than maybe they thought initially. I guess it's one of those, well, it's technically true. It could have been 12 weeks and it's 4 to 6 instead. But this is, you're now looking at an opportunity where he might be facing IR at the beginning of the season, which is obviously, you don't want to see anybody get hurt or anything else. But if you're Trayshon Holden, you're now looking at that and saying that might be your path to get on the roster.
Our boy.
Yeah, is because it's felt like a numbers game, like there wasn't enough space and that Mingo was going to be included in the five receivers that you couldn't move on from. If Mingo's going to end up being on IR to start the season and you don't have to potentially put him on the roster first, Then it opens up a door for Trayshawn Holden to actually have a secure spot on the roster and feel comfortable about it.
Shawty said Jaden Blue with the knee is trending positively, hoping he can play in Friday's finale against the Falcons. Again, he wants the next two practices to be physical. So if you're going out there tonight, Bobby Belt will be out there. Maybe you can see some skirmishes taking place Ford Center at the Star in Frisco.
Yeah, and there's all obviously
said, I want, quote, these next two practices to be ass kickers.
And there's obviously in this day and age, like, how physical can you get? Like that's the problem. And how you're limited in doing that. I mean, this documentary we're about to talk about, The Wall 2.0. A little bit too much physicality ended Sean Lee's season a couple years, about a decade ago. And so that aggressiveness, like, you do have to kind of taper it back a little bit. There's really no way to know how physical your team is or really prepare for those reps until you're into the season. Once you're into the season and get those reps, that's how you get it.
Says they should have run the ball better against the Ravens. They will do more first and second down work in practice this week to start drives better. Micah Parsons, no change is expected to do similar work as he did in Oxnard. So that's not great, as you're hoping Micah would go ahead and ramp it up for Philadelphia. Ian Rappaport on McAfee. We talked about, what's his name, Ricky Scoops? Pretty Ricky, yeah. Ravishing Rick Rude?
Yeah.
One of the names. This guy is this internet dude who throws things out there, but he has hit on some. So I'm not going to totally dismiss what he said, that the Packers are thinking about a trade offer for Micah. And then here comes Ian Rappaport.
I would expect that the Packers would be among the teams interested. And I would say I would expect the Packers would be among the teams really interested. They have paid Jordan Love. They have a bunch of really good young players, but they haven't. There's some guys like Quay Walker they have not paid. Dak Dom they paid. But they have money to spend, and they are really good. And so, like, that's the kind of team that I would say if Micah was going to be traded that he'd be going to, because it's like, we need one final piece. This guy is an absolute dog. He's worth all the money, so pay him all the money. I mean, God only knows what Mulugeta would make that contract. It'd be all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be worth it because you'd get Micah Parsons.
I mean, Green Bay makes sense. Again, if we're talking about...
Except the Packers don't make these types of moves.
They don't typically, but if there's one area where they've typically invested before, even in the history of their 30 years, it's been an edge rusher. It's been Reggie White. It's been Julius Peppers. Like, those are the guys that they will kind of go out of the outside the box and acquire. It makes sense in terms of just where they are in the periphery. Like, Green Bay feels like a contender who's just not quite good enough right now.
Yeah.
And Micah is somebody who at that point that might be enough to really drive it home. Micah and Green Bay, I don't know, like, fit-wise, personality with that community and the way that it is in terms of it's quiet and he wants the spotlight. I don't know how much of a fit that is for him, but it'd be a great football fit.
And then Micah last night basically called out the Cowboys' way of doing things in the preseason, where he's like, yeah, starters should play. Get out there, learn from it. My generation is soft. Brian Schottenheimer commended Jay Toya's performance from the Ravens game, said Tyler Guyton is beating every mark in his knee rehab. And then I loved this little Easter egg hint. Says there will be some surprises on the final 53-man roster. What could that mean?
I like it. I also wonder how in tune is Shoddy with what we expect the roster to look like. Like, we may... He may think, like, oh, Zion Childress is a big surprise. It's like, well, everybody's kind of projecting him at this point. So I don't think I genuinely, hand to God, don't believe Brian Schottenheimer consumes much sports media. I just don't think he knows what's being said consistently.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Colin Cowherd said about his visor.
I don't even know. Here's what I've been having. He was told as he was going up there, hey, just turn your visor around when you get up there and just say, I heard you call it. Like, that's what I think. I think that's probably what he heard about it. But no, I think that, yeah, there'll be there will be surprises relative to what we probably expected going into camp. I'd be surprised if it's a big shakeup based on what we think right now.
877-881-1053. A little Inside the Star on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers. We go commercial-free with the Expressway. Eric Chiafalo joins us as a guest appearance in Ask Reddit at 740. But why Travis Frederick never wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy. It's a Documentary Tuesday. We play you some of The Wall 2.0 from DallasCowboys.com after this. We're going to ask Reddit at 740 with special participant Eric Chiafalo from the G-Bag Nation here on Sean and Bobby. Choppy is out this week on vacation. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And it is a Documentary Tuesday starting with this.
Yeah, this was Nick Eatman had been previewing this with us at the 920 hit recently. But DallasCowboys.com does their Deep Blue documentary series, which are usually just every offseason, it feels like they have a couple that they do where they just do a deep dive on various topics throughout Cowboys history. And the one they did most recently that they released was The Wall 2.0, which is basically just the career story arc of Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, and Zach Martin. And if you haven't watched it yet, you can check it out on YouTube. It's really, really good. And I thought the visual of Tyron Smith walking in and sitting down, and then Travis Frederick enters the room a little bit later, and then Zach enters the room, and then Travis leaves when his career ends in the timeline. It was a nice visual setup, and I thought a lot of the storytelling was great. This is the most you'll ever hear Tyron Smith talk in this interview.
Yes.
And I thought he was really good, but we're gonna play some of the cuts here from this.
Yeah, the presentation of who was drafted first.
Yeah.
You know, sits down in the middle. Tyron sits down first, and then you get Travis, and then you get Zach, and then they do the same thing with them walking and leaving off.
Yeah, and it matches up with like the timeline where they're at in the story. So it's like, all right, we reached Travis's retirement, so Travis is leaving now. And for the rest of the seasons we talk about, it's just Tyron and Zach sitting here. So I thought it was really good. I thought Jason Garrett was really good in this documentary.
Yes.
And was, this is why he could have been so much better a storyteller than he chose to be publicly a lot of times.
Well, he would tell some stories publicly, but it was very, very rare. What Bobby really texted me behind the scenes is made me miss Jason.
A little did.
Made me miss Garrett.
It did.
You're not gonna get Jason talking to the media like that.
No, you're not. It didn't make me miss Jason from that sense. It just made me miss Jason of like, man, I wish he could have seen it. Like, I wish he could have gotten the reward for what he had done.
And what did he do?
I'm just talking about in terms of like the time, the culture, everything else he put in. Like, you can see the players did love him. Like he really did connect with them in a meaningful way.
Yeah. Whatever. He's not going to be this good in his NBC role.
Yeah.
Because it's very short. Jason's got to tell these long form stories because he has great recall. He's got great detail. He's got great delivery. But when you're speaking in 10-second intervals, it's not going to be as good for him.
Right. Yeah. He needs a podcast format to sit down and do a 3-hour interview with somebody about like football and he'd be really good in that. All right. We're going to play some of the cuts from this. And there's a lot of interesting stories that came out of this. This was the first one that popped off to me when Sean had asked last week. He's like, oh, well, you know, what stood out to you about it? The first thing that stood out was, well, I found out Travis Frederick never wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah.
Which was not anything I'd ever heard before. This is Travis Frederick talking about why he wanted to avoid the Cowboys.
Going into the draft, I had a little bit different expectations. It wasn't the place that I trained to be a ton during one of my workouts. Coach Callahan came and worked me out before, and he really grinded me in that workout. Turned to my agent and said, I would give up being a first-round pick as long as I don't have to go to the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
I saw the Cowboys trade down their pick at 18, and that was the sure sell that, you know, they were coming to get me.
I would give up being a first-round pick to not go there, and it sounded, ultimately, it was beneficial, but it sounded like Bill Callahan wore him and them out.
Yeah, and that's Frederick, when he talks about it a little bit as it goes on, you can hear him saying, look, a lot of it was a pain in the ass, or you know, the way he'd do this, it was to call you out specifically, or he'd embarrass you basically in front of the team.
He showed enough times on tape that's what he was telling you to do, even if he didn't say it.
Yeah, like he tells the story about Nick Mangold's glove, or about how Travis wore a glove in college and Callahan didn't want him to do it. So the first 5 minutes of team meetings were always Nick Mangold snaps where he's not wearing a glove. And they were like, okay, I get it. And eventually he just stopped wearing the glove because of that. So he was basically peer pressured into doing it. Now, the year after Travis Frederick, they obviously picked Zach Martin. I think you were out at the stadium that day doing the coverage, and it was
devastated. Had my Johnny Manziel shirt on. Still have the Johnny Manziel shirt.
Everybody wanted Johnny football at that time. And
by the way, Travis came on with us after he was drafted, and he's like, I did not expect to be here. I did not expect to be drafted in the first. And there's Mike Mayock audio in the documentary of him talking about how the Cowboys reached, and he had Travis as a third round grade.
In your face, Mayock. That's why you got fired.
Yeah.
Now when you listen to this, this is the most detailed explanation I've heard yet of the war room discussion that went into Manziel versus Zach Martin. We all know that the story's been told, Jerry wanted to run up there with the card and he would have done it. He was basically held back from it, but we've not heard like some of the details of how it went. This is really good storytelling, I thought, from Will McClay and Jason Garrett as to the decision on that pick.
We probably had 8-9 people grade him, and everybody was 1/100th of a point off. And so that just shows how we all saw him the same way.
We loved him on tape. He was a 4-year starter,
Zach Martin,
at Notre Dame. We loved him in the interview, just everything about him. And a lot like Travis and Tyron, he represented everything that we wanted on our team.
And we were all enamored with Zach Martin.
Jerry was enamored with Johnny Manziel.
And I remember Jerry telling Steven, you don't make hay, or whatever saying was, picking a guard in the first round.
He thought about the importance of, hey, Tony Romo's our quarterback. Let's think about who's next at that position. It's a really hard position to get guys who can play quarterback for you. And so let's always be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, Steven, he took the bullet for us because Zach was the guy that we felt great about. But Jerry was kind of bullheaded on it. And Steven approached him and was like, hey, everybody's on this. And, first round pick, da-da-da-da. We're going through the whole thing. It was still Johnny and Zach that we were talking about it. And the time was running very short. And so I whispered, put Zach Martin on the card because that's where we were going. And Jerry heard that through all the commotion. Said, I didn't say put. So it was a very harrowing, however many minutes it took.
There's so much there that I think is interesting. You don't make hay by taking a guard in the first round.
Well, his saying that I think he told us was like, you don't lay up.
Yeah.
You got to go for the green, mm-hmm. basically. He gave a golf analogy. Sexy pick.
And so the fact that they went back to guard now, but to have him say that, and then I think that version of Jerry and the debates that go on within the building happened a lot. Like, I think there have been times they've not done things that Jerry wanted to do because the group was like, Jerry, this is the way we see it. I think, to be honest, Derrick Henry was that. I think Jerry wanted Derrick Henry. I think he did. And I think he was just told, can't do it. We financially can't do it. And I think that's also why it probably frustrated him so much last year when it would come up. Because it's like, yeah, I agreed. I wanted him. And he just had to stand up there instead and go, yep, buck stops with me. Yeah. I ultimately make the decision. But like to hear like Will McClay say, Steven took the bullet for us. And Steven's basically like, all right, I'll shoulder it. I'll go advocate and we'll get this done. And then the note about
Will gets yelled at.
That's so good.
For whispering to the phone, put him on the card.
Yeah.
And Jerry's like, I didn't say that. I didn't finalize that.
Yeah. And so that's funny, but that in all the commotion, like he says, Jerry hears that, goes, no, hold on there. We're not doing that. So that was fascinating detail I hadn't heard before. Next clip here. I know this one had stood out to you, Sean. This was Dak, Jason Garrett, and Ron Leary all talking about how smart of a player Travis Frederick was and how much he was trusted.
Quick story. Jason Garrett, one offseason, gave us notebooks to take notes, and not knowing, Garrett was going to take the books up here in 2 weeks just to see who's been taking notes and to see how well people's notes were. And his point of doing it was, the guys who were making mistakes, I'll be able to go back and say, yeah, you didn't take notes. Well, his whole study was thrown out the window when the smartest guy on the team, Travis Frederick, doesn't write anything down.
And then sometimes you have guys who are exceptions. And Travis is one of the smartest players I've ever coached. And that's not the way he learned. He didn't learn by taking a lot of notes. He learned by listening, and then somehow he just was able to process it all. So that was his style.
I remember plenty of times Romo or Dak would say something, and I hear Travis be like, no, we gonna do this right here. And it's right every time. We trust him 100% up front. So if Travis was gonna override the quarterback, we were gonna go with Travis, because he knew it.
Wow. Ron Leary, that's one of the major things that jumped out to me, saying, no, Romo had, this is the game plan. Romo said we're doing this. And Travis Frederick would correct, speak up, and always be right.
Yeah, and to the point that they were like, all right, we're blowing off what he said. We're going this way. We're doing the protection this way. And that's it's Travis Frederick and Sean Lee being here at the same time. The Cowboys were really lucky and benefited from having their IQ, I think, a lot of times. We saw that in the all or nothing at the end of the season when Sean Lee was having to correct a coach about, no, you got this wrong. I don't stand there.
Travis did this Bobby nerd chart for a card game, or what were they playing?
They were playing cards, and he liked to handwrite the scores, and they were getting annoyed with it. Like, he's like, guys, can I write down the score? Hurry. And so he got so frustrated with how quickly they'd want to move on, he created a spreadsheet where he could just key in a number and it would automatically fill out the rest of the sheet.
Bobby.
A man after my own heart. I loved it. We got time. We can do probably another one here, maybe two. This is the cut that I know, talking to people on the beat and stuff, this was the one that stood out to them, they thought, of just, wow, that was a pretty powerful quote there from Travis Frederick. This is the three of them, Zach, Tyron, and Frederick, talking about Dak coming in for Tony Romo after he got hurt.
But I think you have to look at the perspective of it. Like, we just had a bad year in 15 with our quarterback going down. Our franchise quarterback goes down again. So, I mean, naturally, like, the thought is, like, oh, here we go again. Like,
the difference was you were playing with the older vet, and it was kind of more of where, for me, it was like, I'm a young guy, so it was kind of more, no matter how old I got, playing with Tony, it was just more of, I was just listen and follow. And when Dak came in, it felt like we're all kind of on the same page, kind of all on the same page.
Romo was like your dad out there. You know what I mean? Like, even when at this point your dad, he was the older guy, like, you know, Tony Romo is a quarterback. So he's like, but then, you know, obviously Dak comes in and it's just, again, a guy that's more your age a little bit.
You can relate a little bit.
Yeah, relate a little bit more too.
And so when he came in, it was the energy. It was going, and like, we kind of all could relate a little bit. And, you know, in the games we won, it was just, we just had fun, honestly.
I'd liken it to say that when you played with Tony, you played for Tony and you played with Dak.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a strong quote from Travis Frederick.
Yeah, they were all trying to tiptoe around being respectful to Tony while wanting to, I think, burst at the seams to talk about how exciting and refreshing it was to have the Dak and Zeke energy.
I remember Terrence Williams gave an interview right after the season ended that year. He was at Super Bowl doing Radio Row stuff. And he said, you know, and he'd only played with two quarterbacks in his life. It was Dak and Tony Romo. Because, you know, sometimes you play with some quarterbacks and they can be a little moody and they make you feel all the pressure. And when you're playing with Dak, it's not that way. Like, you feel free. And that's why the thing that was the hardest for fans to understand, I think, at the time was, talent-wise right now and the way they see the game, there's no way Dak is up to where Romo is. There's just no chance at this point in their careers. And I think the Cowboys felt that way, too. I think the Cowboys just looked at it and they were like, we are going to destroy the chemistry. It's going to be deflating to people if Tony just walks back out there and takes the job.
They had also won,
10 in a row or whatever it was. Yeah, 10, 11 in a row.
They won 13 games overall. You know, they were on fire.
Yeah.
So it's like, do we want to risk this winning streak? It's an all-time great DFW sports topic. But yeah, they're just sitting there. Edelman said something similar when he said, yeah, Bill was the coach, but we played for Tom.
Yeah.
Edelman said that, burned into my brain. And Travis Frederick saying, yeah, we played for Tony. We played with Dak. So they're talking about the injection of youth. I think Travis called it whimsical and fun.
Yeah,
be playing with Dak.
In fact, this is them talking a little bit more. This is the last cut we'll play. This is 35. This is them talking about how much freer they played with Dak Prescott.
As a young guy coming in, he respected what we were doing and what we were, you know, how big of a part of it that the offensive line and the running game was. Not to say that Tony didn't respect it, because in fact he probably respected even more having been through it and seeing it. But as that older guy, like you said, he was laying out the expectations for us. We weren't doing it together. You know, we were able to take advantage of a lot of that expertise, but it was just a different feeling.
These two guys that came in, they were young and just, they couldn't be stopped. You know, they had their own energy about them.
He keeps big hole, lock the dog.
I don't know, they just brought a life back to us that we needed after 15. For the most part, it was just, having a blast out there. And we had a confidence of going to each game that we were all on the same page going in, that we were going to win.
Oh, look at Tyron out in front. Boom, you're erased.
I don't care what the team was, we were going to win no matter what.
I think when you have two young guys come in and kind of take the whole league by storm, you feed off that energy too.
It's just like an injection of youth into the team. And also, like, it removed some of the seriousness of it, I guess. I don't know. It became a little bit more whimsical. And it was fun because they didn't know how serious every game was.
Yeah. It's like, it helps that we were winning those years too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're
it'd be a lot different.
7 and 8, it's like, maybe it was okay, but we were winning. So it's like, man, this is great. I'm doing my job. This is all I got to focus on.
And there's Zach with the Sean point of, we were winning, guys. Like, that's part of why it was so whimsical.
Part one of our recap, Bobby pulling all the audio, The Wall 2.0. Fantastic, fantastic piece on DallasCowboys.com. Documentary Tuesday continues with the Netflix director of The Gambler, Jerry Jones and his Cowboys, at 9 a.m. with that documentary out today. Let's get our special guest to join us for Ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
That's right. It is time for Ask Reddit. That is right. Sorry, I got to take the Peyton Russell line. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. And
look at that hair this morning.
It's so perfect. Oh. We have added the true Station Italian back on the airwaves. Eric Chiafalo joins us now for Ask Reddit.
Did
Hello,
you
Eric.
Blow dry that today?
Eric, turn your mic on.
Yeah, you got to
microphone.
You got to turn your microphone on.
Eric. Okay, how about now?
Yeah, hey! There's Eric.
There we go.
Did you blow dry that?
No blow dry. I'm not a blow dry guy, man. I just woke up. I was actually embarrassed. I was like, crap, I should have thrown a hat on.
No, and it looks then
I was
good.
Like, it's too late.
Looks
well,
very
thank
good.
You. Thank you.
It looks fantastic. And I want to carry over one question specifically for you, Eric. Because, we talked yesterday about, hey, will you come on Ask Reddit? And you said, yeah. You said, you asked a question last week. I've got one that you can carry over because I got a good story about it. And it was, what is the worst way you've ever been rejected by a girl? Because nobody believes you've ever been rejected by a girl.
I almost called in, actually, during this. I guess it was last week or the week before, whatever. And it was, this is from like probably like 12 years ago. I was like 19 or 20 years old. I was in Destin, Florida with my family. It's just me and my parents and my brothers. We're hanging out on the beach, having a good time. Was eyeballing a particular lady throughout the day. And she was sitting next to an older lady, and it was just the two of them like the whole time. And so I'm like trying to work up the courage to finally go. My brothers are like, come on, come on, come on. So finally we're getting ready to leave. And so everybody kind of like leaves our little beach area and like goes and just kind of watches from the little beach bar. And I walk up and I don't even totally remember what I said, but I said a little.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots, he scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Something complimentary and introduce myself. She introduces herself, and then she introduces the lady next to her as her mother-in-law.
And
I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm out of here then.
Not a terrible rejection, though. That's a matter of circumstance.
That doesn't even sound like she said no totally. Eric.
Yeah, she's just saying, where was the dude?
That's what I was like, in my mind, I'm going, who's going to the beach with just their mother-in-law for an entire day?
Yeah.
But
she's like, he's in the lifeguard chair.
But then I had to do the walk of shame back to my family who was sitting there like, kind of like watching at a distance, and I'm like shaking my head.
But
like,
the smart move was you did it while you guys were leaving. That's like flirting with the waitress and you leave your number on the receipt and you walk out and then you just wait for that magical, there's no rejection with it.
Mm-hmm.
You just wait for that magical cell phone text or call or nothing. But you were walking away while doing it. If you had done it earlier in the day and you just gotta sit there in the sand, as you know,
awful,
that they're probably laughing and talking about you and vice versa, wouldn't have been good.
No doubt.
Would have been brutal. In fact, you know what? That's a good way to transition to the very first Ask Reddit question that I'll ask Peyton, because I'm dying to know what Peyton's answer is to this. Peyton Russell, what's the best pickup line you've used slash heard used?
So I heard of this, you know, early on, like in high school and college, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I need to try this out. I actually use it on McKenzie, and I think it's still genius. It's kind of corny nowadays, but it's, you know, when you're texting a girl and they're like, okay, like I'm in the shower now, or I'm going to go shower, and then you go, you hit them with the, without me? I love it. I think it's a 10 out of 10 because then it's like they're stuck. They're either going to say, yeah, without you, and then you just, okay, you blow them off. All right, well, you're not interested in me. Or they're going to say, yeah, without you, but do you want to join? And then it's a win-win.
That's not an early enough, like, that's not like an initial pickup line, though. You got to be, like, having a conversation. I'm thinking the cold intro.
So I've got, this is more a, I got...
Walking up at the bar, you don't know any, on the beach.
So this
Eric's walking up to the girl on the beach. What are you saying?
Daddy's home. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm sure that would work.
No, this actually reminds me of, we were, I was with my cousin and he had a friend with him from Houston. And this is this blew me away at the time. I was stunned this worked. We were going to a show at the House of Blues. And before the House of Blues, like, you know, they have Hooters down there, whatever. So we're at Hooters. So we're down there getting food and the waitress walks up and his buddy is like hitting on this girl. I'm like, so out of your league. This is not going to work. Stop. But just like kind of casually hitting on her, whatever. So she walks over again. We're getting near the end of the night and she was saying, hey, I'm getting cut. So they were like, all right, we'll tab out. We'll get it, whatever. And he goes, hey, you're getting cut. He's like, you want to come with us? We're just going to go hang out tonight. And she was like, he's like, here, just give me your number. And she was like, and he pulled down his shirt and he showed it that he had a Texas tattoo with a star in the Houston area. And he goes, I'm from Houston. I'm not calling you again after tonight. And she went, okay. And she went out with him and it worked.
Wow.
It worked that night. Eric, what line do you wish you would have used on the beach?
Yeah, I like the, I'm not an artist, but I can picture us together perfectly.
I'll paint you like one of my French girls. That's Fish's line.
So I'll pay homage to Choppy, who's out this week on vacation. I think his Sarah pickup line was guac, salsa, queso. Got to pick two.
Yeah.
And he did like a conversation starter. And
I
then,
like that.
And then, but the most surprising one is my buddy Kevin. Now, I will preface this in saying you got to have some sense of style yourself as the guy. I don't. Bobby doesn't. Choppy thinks he does. He wears whatever Sarah tells him to wear. But this guy has a little bit of style. And you weren't with us. It was in New York.
Oh.
Super Bowl. The night we got blitzed with Slater there as well. And he just insults like these hot girls' outfits. Like, oh, you chose to wear that belt with that? And the brain scramble it did to these women. You know, he wasn't like outright, he's not saying you look ugly because he's trying to sleep with them. But he's like, heels? Really? And for some reason, because you got to be able to back that up with, oh, what would you wear? What do you think? Uh-huh. I said, you know, well, flats would look better with that ensemble and outfit. So that surprised me as he basically insulted their outfit and attire, and it ended up working.
Andrew Dice Clay is what works out for people. Some of the answers on the fan text at 972, do you like cereal? That's a good one. I should try it about the 321, are you into fitness? I think you can finish that one up if you like. 817, I can be your father-in-law. All right, that's some of the answers on the fan text. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 through the fan.
But I really love the Google schedule thing. I wish we had this in my day. Eric, this came out where kids now, in order to avoid all the flirtation and all the BS, and they're just sending like 10 p.m. ? To the girls' Google schedule. Like 10:30, and then you can be like, I was just playing around, I was joking. But then she might write back, accept invite.
Yeah, dude, I heard you. When I heard you guys talking about this, I was like, wow, this is a whole other cheat code right now. This is crazy.
I will say that goes along with the one that I know. So it was like, it would bat 15%, but it would work sometimes. I know a guy who just would always go, want to make out? Like, he'd just walk up to people, and most of the time it'd be like, you creep. But then it's like, oh, I'm just going to hit numbers. I'm going to keep walking around, Somebody will say yes. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. This is a perfect one for Sean Sharif. And Peyton, you're not going to be able to participate yet, unfortunately. Aww. Girl dads, how has life unexpectedly changed since she came into your life? Good or bad?
I mean, it's actually perfect for Eric. He's got 11 of them.
Oh, no, it's perfect for you. It's a perfect chance for you to be honest and balanced AF.
How has it changed? I'm not probably I'm not yelling at her as much. Number one, she doesn't listen. She smiles. She thinks it's funny. But she literally thinks it's funny when I raise my voice. Ollie would get scared and, you know, have my mother-in-law thinking about calling CPS. So I let her get away with more. Everything is cuter. And, you know, what's a dopamine? What were we talking about last week?
Yeah.
That's probably chemical. My dopamine moment is when she gets home from school and, you know, she can't wait to run up to me.
She does the glow. She's got that baby glow.
That little baby glow, little smile.
Yeah, that does it. Cheech, what changed for you the most unexpectedly?
Yeah, I mean, just the wrapped around their finger nature. You think you're a tough guy who's like running the show, and it's like not really.
Yeah.
But then also the protective nature of you. Like, I didn't grow up with sisters or anything. I just got brothers, so it was like just a total perspective shift. And like at all times, like in the house, out of the house, out in public, whatever it is, you're always in that what protective mode do I need to be in right now? Because that's just the nature of the beast with the girl.
And I find myself feeling like a loser, like in middle school, where I'm wanting to win a popularity contest for my daughter's affection. Like I want her to have me as the favorite or run over to me first. So I'm like, How do I stay on top of the popularity vote? How do I stay on top of the wife here in terms of being the favorite?
Dude, I'll tell you, there was an awful TikTok I saw yesterday. It's like dads reacting to their daughters putting on their Halloween costumes. And it's like the girls coming out wearing like stuff that's really revealing or whatever. And these dads, they just look so pissed. And people are laughing at it. And there was somebody in the comments who were like, if you're not the dad, you don't understand like how much they're dreading. Like, I remember what I did to people like this or how I used to approach people like this. Nobody's treating my daughter that way. And it makes you upset that like, there you go off into the world. 972, literally tear up about the dumbest S. Yeah, that'll happen also the older you get. 214, my daughter gives me the determination to be the man I want to be. 214, my ability to say no as a girl dad has virtually disappeared. That's one that happens a lot. 214, hearing daddy when you walk in the door is pure euphoria. For me, the answer is I didn't realize how much. I thought it was going to be a much higher threshold of things I would want to physically harm people over. Like to where it's like, you know, if they just make her cry, one of the girls cry about something very small, I immediately have very violent thoughts pop into my head over something that's not even rational. Yeah. I shouldn't even get worked up like the way that I do. And Peyton, you don't have a child yet that we know of. But, you know, one day soon. All right. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Eric Chiafalo, what's an item under $10 that every man should own?
Okay, I'm actually showing it on the fan cam right now. This is my phone wallet. It's like a little sticky piece. I think they actually make magnet ones now that are even more bad to the bone. But I'm not carrying a wallet around. All I do is carry around my phone. I got my cards in there. It's the biggest no-brainer in the world. I don't have to worry about losing my wallet because I'm not losing my phone.
Can you hold that credit card up real quick? I mean, I just want to see
that. Show us those numbers. Yeah.
So Bobby needs this so bad. What did your wife say? Or what's the comedian say? I can't trust you to watch my kids.
Oh, yeah. No, she told me yesterday. She's like, you need a chain on your wallet. And I can't remember who the comedian was, but his thing is he's like, I think if you need a chain on your wallet, you should not have children.
Yeah.
Like, I can't trust you to watch a human
being. We had to help him search for his keys the other day. But Eric, my counter to that is how do you not know you're not going to ever lose your phone? I've lost my phone sometimes, but normally in the house.
So, I mean, you have all these different things now that you can ding it and ping it and figure out where it's at. If you lose your wallet, like, there is no recourse for that, I guess, unless you have, like, one of those AirTags in it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't have an AirTag. I've lost my wallet before, like, high school, college, and it's just, it's gone. There's no recourse for it unless there's a good Samaritan and somehow they call you, like, your ID. I don't know. But that's a bigger nightmare than anything.
Rank them in order. Would you rather lose your wallet, your cell phone, your keys?
The one I'd rather lose the most would be,
What would you rather lose the least? Is it actually cell phone? Are we that? Have we reached that point in society where I don't want to lose my phone because what am I going to do in the day of replacing it?
Keys, wallet, cell phone. That's the order I would want to lose them.
Keys,
mm-hmm.
Wallet, cell phone last.
Yeah.
Eric?
Especially because the cell phone is just so freaking expensive now. Like,
we used to get a replaceable one in my day. You're due for the upgrade. You trade it in.
Which reminds me, you need to bring your phone in here so I can switch it for you one of these mornings.
I also need you to hook up my podcast setup.
You've got to get the new phone set up. The $10 that and by the way, my wallet, this is the one my dad gave me when I was 16. It still is, like, I think that's held up pretty well for 20 years.
Overall. 20 years?
This is a 20-year-old wallet.
What's your order, Peyton?
I'd be fine losing the wallet because I don't carry cash or anything. So, I mean, yeah, like, it would suck to lose the ID, but, like, all the credit cards and debit cards, I can just cancel them, put them on freeze. Least likely would probably be the keys, though. It's like, if I lose my keys, like, I mean, you can't drive anywhere. So depending on where you are, I guess that matters more.
Peyton, what is your $10 or less item that every man should own?
It's nail clippers. I mean, hold them up. Let's see the fingernails. And it's and you can't be using your girlfriend or wife's, you know, her nail clippers. You got to be owning your own pair.
I don't.
How bad are they? Looks good.
I pick mine when I have to. Not often. Nail clippers, to me, that's a little man car violation.
There was something.
I can't sit here with my nail clippers.
Well, you don't do it in public. You know, you do it in private.
Okay, yeah. No one sees you. You're right. How about RJ?
Bassick grosses
out my father-in-law.
Bassick used to not be able to, like, if he was in here in crosstalk and chop his chewed nails, he would look out the window. He wouldn't look over during crosstalk. I don't know how accurate this is. This is what Kristen claims. Yesterday, there was some question that I was reading that was like, what's the most disgusting habit your significant other has? And she, like, smirked. I was like, what? She's like, you biting your nails? I was like, oh, everybody bites their nails. You bite your nails. She's like, no. She's like, you bite your nails. And she's like, I will find just thick, long nails all over the house that you've, like, bit off and thrown. I was like, I don't think I'd do that. I think you're finding somebody else's nails.
I put mine, like, on the table. I at least put mine on the table together, a collection. I just try to get rid of it before Amanda sees it. But sometimes she'll walk by and be like, What the hell is that?
Yeah, you're trying to keep them neat, though. You're trying to do one throw it.
What's yours?
For me, it's a lighter. Like, I think a lighter is just, there are so many nice multi-purpose uses for it. The lighter's great.
I've never seen you use a lighter, like, out on the road. Asked me for one.
It's a Zippo. Yeah, I know. I didn't have it with me that day, but, like, I've got Zippos and different things like that. It's just, if power goes out, you got light. You can always get the thread instead of pulling something.
How many people carry around and actually use the pocket knife? Because you can get a cheap one, but I just don't. I'm not like a weapons person where I'm like carrying around a switchblade on me.
Like I understand.
So, I need it all the time outside for grilling. Like, open up my pellet bag or open up, you know, the chunks of wood or cut this piece off of the steak when I'm outside near the grill area. But not otherwise.
Yeah, I never thought of carrying one. And everybody I knew who carried one, like, wore fatigues and stuff. And I was like, all right, come on, ROTC.
I'd probably say gum.
Gum is good. Gum is just, it's good.
Amanda with her breast strips. Like, anytime we're going somewhere, again, you know, it's like, let me have one of these. Come on. Let's load up.
I got the perfect question here. Last one here on Ask Reddit for Peyton Russell. Peyton Russell, who is the most disturbing person you've ever met?
I think both you guys, and I know Bobby knows this story. Sean, I thought you were
saying both of us. Screw you.
So it wasn't at the time that I met him, because I was, you know, cool with him, I'd say, kind of friends with him in, like, fifth, sixth grade. But I went to school with the guy, and then, you know, he moved away, and years later, and in 2019, he opened fire at a college in North Carolina, went crazy. So he's locked away for the rest of his life, but yeah. And when his name popped up on the newscast, I was like, oh my, like, all the people in Mansfield went crazy because everyone knew him, but, like, no one was really, like, cool with him and stuff. I always sat next to him in class. So I was friends with him. He was smart, but never hung out with him outside of school. But, yeah.
The most disturbing person I've ever met is Mike Bassick. I wouldn't want to touch off Mike Bassick. It's just like, I look at Mike and I go, hey, Mike, let's keep it friend. Mike is great. Mike, I don't ever want to tap into Mike Bassick's anger or rage.
One time we almost went face to face over a baseball fight, and we're going back and forth. This is crosstalk commercial. He looks at me and he goes, Sean, he goes, you know I would beat you, right? And he looked at me like dead serious. And he's like, you know I'd win if we fought right now, right? I was like, you're a lunatic. Eric, who's yours?
Yeah, I actually grew up with a guy who ended up going on a bit of a methy sort of killing spree.
Oh,
what? Which was pretty wild right here in the Metroplex. This was probably, I don't know, I would say, like, in the last 10 years. I went to elementary school, went to middle school, and then I didn't go to high school with him because at that point he was in prison. But then when he got out, he went on like a crazy, ridiculous bank robbing, killing, ridiculous spree. I'm not joking you.
What? Did you say methy? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was meth induced.
I went to college with a guy who ended up marching in Charlottesville.
Oh my gosh.
And his brother called the FBI to investigate him. He was a State Department official. His name's Matthew Gebert, because he deserves he deserves to be tortured, or if anyone can find him. He was doing these podcasts as a part of a white nationalist group podcast. So that would be my answer.
Oh, that is, yeah, that's absolute insanity. And that's Ask Reddit. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks for joining us. Anything you need to tease today? Anything coming up?
Let's see. It's a hump day in the G-Bag Nation. And No, not at all.
The great Eric Chiafalo with us here during Ask Reddit, commercial-free expressway. We're going to go shopping for a new Cowboys backup quarterback next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.